Well, it's going to be a wild night, don't you think, Stephanie?
It is, baby.
Oh, my God. The news today is like freaking crazy.
Huh? Oh, I'm sorry, but when Michelle and Dege Ocello pops into that tune, like it just goes to another level.
Oh, it totally does.
Let's hear it for one sec. When you're walking down on the streets. Here we go. Woohoo! Set you flying. Okay, can I tell you a Michelle and Dege Ocello story after we pimp ourselves for a sec?
Yes.
Okay. Wait, you want to pimp first?
Yeah,
or you want me to Michelle?
Go ahead and tell the story.
All right. Okay. So I had just started dating my husband. This was probably 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. And 16 years ago. And we went out to dinner at this place called Delfina or Delphine, something in San Francisco. Like it was a cool Noe Valley, whatever the hell, Coal Valley sort of joint. Anyway, I'm wearing a cute dress because, of course, I'm trying to, you know, look hot for my man. And I'm sitting at this table for two, and I look over Zach's shoulder, and there's Michelle and Dege Ocello having dinner at the bar with a friend. Ooh. And Michelle, I believe, thought I looked hot. And literally, like, I have never been so, she was just totally, like, turned her body toward me and was looking at me like, mm-hmm. Didn't give a shit that I was with a dude. Did not care. And I go, oh, my God, Zach, Michelle and Dege Ocello's in the bar. And he turns around and he goes, the ladies love you. And I said, yes, they do. But I have to admit, like, as a straight woman, she just put off a vibe that was so hot and alluring. And just, I was like, well, if this doesn't work out with Zach, at least Michelle and Dege Ocello wants a piece of my action.
That's hilarious.
It was pretty, it made me feel good, you know?
Yeah.
And then I just wanted to go, wow, Dad. But when she plays that bass with that bald head, like, damn.
Yeah, I love that
song.
She
gives it to you.
I'm loving on John Mellencamp today, obviously.
All
right. Well, before we get started, let's just get some business out of the way.
And, yes, indeed.
You know, this is, if you're not following us on Twitter, by the way, what's wrong with you? I'm Author Kimberly. And what's your handle?
At Lady Brain Show.
At Lady Brain Show. So follow us. And if you want to support us, because we are independent podcasters who work very hard to make this happen. And we rely on our listeners to support us. So you can become a supporter or a monthly subscriber, I should say, at patreon.com/startmeup. And you can pledge a dollar a month, or you can pledge $5, which gets you into and another thing. And I just wanted to tell you right now, and we're going to talk about this on the free show. I met Alyssa Milano at an ERA hearing last week. And on the And Another Thing segment, I'm going to talk a little bit about a private message I had with her about body image. And I told her that I'm, you know, experiencing menopause and that I've had body image, you know, issues and this and that. So she was really sweet. And I'm going to tell everybody what she said on the And Another Thing. So that's a little tease for you. Anyway, so support us with any donation per month you can. Come on, you go to Starbucks, you spend money on a cup of coffee every day, you can spend $5 a month to support the show. So there you go.
And walk away highly entertained.
Yeah, totally.
Right?
and
brew a
informed.
Cup at home.
Entertained
donate
and informed.
The five. Yeah, entertained and informed. Damn.
It's a fucking crazy day, but I'm going to start off with the ERA because I just want to say that I'm going to pat myself on the back for a minute and people who also listen to Bob Seska's show already know this, so excuse me. Please just bear with me. I'll be brief. In 2012, I was speaking for Rock the Slut Vote at the We Are Woman rally, and I met Camila Lopez, who is the documentary filmmaker for the documentary Equal Means Equal, which is about ratifying the Equal Rights Amendment. She's the one who informed me that the ERA had never been enshrined into the Constitution. I didn't realize this. I'm like many Americans. I had no idea. And actually, a lot of women kind of realized this at that time, because in 2012, a woman by the name of Karen Teagarden, who runs Unite Women, I can't remember exactly how many rallies, but she set up, organized rallies all across the country in like a matter of 6 weeks. And it was as a result of that whole Susan Komen defunding Planned Parenthood and Rush Limbaugh calling Sandra Flick a slut. So women were just pissed off and there were rallies everywhere. And, you know, that's where the ERA activists came out and informed all of us and said, mm-hmm. hey, this is a thing. So since that moment, I remember when Kamala told me that. I thought I had just become a blogger and I was like, oh my God, this is going to be my thing now. ERA is going to be my thing. So cut to last, I think it was October, I was put into a Twitter, you know, it's like Twitter message group to help, Renato Mariotti with his campaign for Attorney General in Illinois. And Alyssa Milano was in that group. So I was, you know, in that group, I messaged Renato and I just said, hey, do you know about the ERA, blah, 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 blah. So he just like, he immediately became an activist for the ERA as well. And Alyssa saw that and she asked a question about it. So I gave like a paragraph response and she said, oh my God, this is going to be my new mission. And I literally was dancing around the living room. Bob was like out
and
working.
And then you texted me.
Yeah. I mean, I was like so excited and
I had to throw myself in there. Sorry. Go ahead.
And I, you know, Bob was at the gym and he had come home and I'm like, ah, blah, 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 like screaming at him. I'm like, oh, blah, 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 because I had always wanted somebody like her who was intelligent and had a huge platform and understood how to, you know, talk about these things. I wanted somebody like her to be the face of the area, at least one of the faces that could get this message out to the masses. So I was really pleased and it's been a bit of a slow start, but that's, I think, because she's been busy informing herself. So, you know, she got with the ERA coalition and she became friendly with Carolyn Maloney, who is representative of New York. And Carolyn Maloney organized this shadow hearing because she can't get anybody to listen to her about the ERA in Congress. So she decided, screw it, I'm going to do my own thing. And it was great because, like, Joaquin Castro was there, Ted Lieu was there, Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas was there. I'm trying to think of all the other people. There was a whole bunch of other people. And then we there was some people from the ERA coalition who were giving testimony, as well as Alyssa Milano. And what really made me happy about this was because Carolyn Maloney basically wants to do a start over. She's written a start over ERA, which would mean that we have to just basically trash what we've got, what we've accomplished so far and start from scratch, which I'm not going to poo-poo that. I'm just going to say that's in my opinion, that's the last resort. Because in 2017, ERA was ratified in Nevada, and just last month, ERA was ratified in Illinois. So now we only have one more state, and we're looking at Virginia. It looks really good in Virginia right now. And then once, let's just say Virginia is ratified, then we have to work on the big debate about getting rid of the congressionally imposed expired deadline from the 70s, which I think it expired sometime in the 1980s. So one of the arguments that's going to be used is, I think the 27th Amendment was written 200 years ago, and it didn't get ratified until the 1990s. So even though there was no deadline attached to that, I think the argument was, hey, look, there wasn't a deadline attached to that one. So the fact that there was a deadline attached to the only amendment that's going to protect against gender discrimination is bullshit. So I think that's, you know, that's where they're going to go with it. I know that there are lawyers kind of waiting in the wings to pounce on this once we get that final state ratified. So I was just so pleased to be a part of that. Alyssa had invited me to go. I brought my mother. And it was awesome because I got to meet some of the activists that I've, you know, talked to online and never met in person. And she, and Alyssa's testimony was really touching because, you know, she said it's online. I think now this has a video of her speech. But she said, you know, I'm a woman and I'm not represented in the Constitution. And as she was talking and making her case, she started crying. And it made everybody in the room tear up. And the reason why is because it's like, what the fuck is this?
What the fuck?
It's just, it's women's rights, you know, and everybody that argues the 14th Amendment is enough. It's like, well, then why did we need the 19th Amendment? If that was enough to prevent against gender discrimination, why was there an amendment needed to get women the right to vote? Why was there an amendment needed after, you know, for of African Americans to vote? The 14th does not protect anybody when lawyers can argue and find ways to go, well, it doesn't matter. And then a judge is like, well, then sorry. So I was just really happy to see, you know, a new, and also it was standing room only, and it was filled with people. Well, it wasn't standing, some were sitting, but it was like the whole room was filled with people, and they were of all ages, and it was young men, young women. There were mature people there, so it was just awesome. It was just completely awesome. So just get that out of the
Let
way.
Let me ask you something. I think that's amazing, and to be in that room, I can see why people would cry, because that says it right there. You're not viewed as an equal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a huge problem, because let me tell you something right now. If we all decided to just sit back and not participate,
yeah,
this world would fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me crazy that, because women are fighters and we've had to be all along, yeah. You know, it was about strength back in the day, you know, right? We didn't have the physical strength that men had. So the men were in charge. Well, that's different now because it incenses me when I look around in 2018 and I look at work, you know, I'm in a business setting. And women are maybe, you know, there's a lot of mansplaining that goes on around the table. Or perhaps someone feels that they can talk down to me because I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. And I hate sometimes that I'm so hair trigger, ready to defend myself. But that's what we've been brought
exactly.
up to do, you know?
Yeah.
And but anyway, I think it's beautiful. I think it's wonderful that you were able to connect with Alyssa and, you know, all the hard work that you've done to this point. Now, finally, you know, you've got somebody who has this ginormous platform, mm-hmm. who sees what you've done and who's ready to help you champion that cause. And it's long overdue, but it's amazing. Now, one other question, because I am one of those ignoramuses. Mm-hmm. Why does Carolyn Maloney, is that right? Maloney?
Mm-hmm. Maloney.
Why would she want to start over? I got lost in that.
Well, my understanding, I don't remember who told the story. I think it was, there was somebody, and it might be Bobby Kennedy, but I'm not sure. There was some politician. Oh, it was a Kennedy. Maybe it was Ted Kennedy. I think that's who it was. Ted Kennedy took on the ERA, and I guess before he died, he asked her to keep it going. And so I think more than likely she wanted, you know, obviously she wants to fulfill that legacy, but I think that because I think the start over strategy, the start over strategy. Was something that she came up with because we had seen this, you know, dead stop on the ERA. It was like, mm-hmm. We got 35 states ratified and then it came to a stop and then the deadline was imposed and it expired. And so I think that she probably just felt like, all right, well, it's just too difficult to even try. So I'm not sure about that. I'm guessing. But I do know that she is definitely, you know, it's Maloney, by the way.
Maloney.
Is definitely for, I think, the one state now strategy, because that was was primarily discussed in the hearing. You know, that was what the focus was. And part of the reason why, you know, aside from what I already just said, back in 2012, we had activists that, like I said, were energized by this and decided to, you know, throw themselves into it. So they have been working at the state level, obviously in Nevada, obviously, and mm-hmm. they've been doing it in Virginia. I know some women specifically that have been working Virginia hard for a very long time, just as much as Illinois. So it took Donald Trump to get this, you know, really going. But this is the work, years of work, from people who have just been tirelessly knocking on doors in the halls of Congress in their own states and talking mm-hmm. to, you know, politicians about this. And so it seems to me that since we're so close, it would to just throw it all out would diminish the work that we've seen in the last several years.
Oh gosh, absolutely.
And then it's like, all right, fine. If for some reason it's determined that, you know, there's just no way to get this done, if the battles just go on, fine, let's just scratch it and start from the beginning. But that concerns me because, as you know, getting an amendment into the Constitution is no easy feat.
Oh my gosh.
I think the only hope that we would have is if that we get a really strong progressive Congress and women who have been winning primaries and the women that have already won, you know, seats would push this really hard. And then I would hope that we could see the same momentum that existed back in the 70s when it was just like state after state after state after state. And what killed it was freaking Phyllis Schlafly, who, came on with her smile and her skirts and didn't, you know, told everybody, don't look angry and spread lies about, you know, what the ERA would mean. And right now, those lies are all BS because it was the unisex bathroom argument that they were all freaked out about. They were also mm-hmm. saying that women could get drafted. And it's like, well, the argument against that is, number one, Congress has always had the ability to draft women. They've chosen not to. Mm-hmm. And they could still mm-hmm. choose to do it. And even so, women are in the military now. There's never going to be an all-male military. So that's a bullshit argument. The other mm-hmm. argument was that women would not get wives would not get spousal benefits when their husbands passed away, which is bullshit. So there was all, you know, it was also abortion was going to be on demand. Bullshit. First of all, equal right. Abortion is, at least right now, a privacy issue, not an equal rights issue. So if that was going to go to court, that's what would be argued. You know, Roe v. Wade is based on doctor-patient privacy, not equality. So everything that was used as an argument against it is total BS. And of course, those were different times. You know, I mean, those arguments scared people at that time. Now it's a completely different world. So unisex bathrooms don't scare anyone. And, you know, I mean, all of the lies have already been debunked over time. So now what we just have to, you know, overcome is the huge amount of, There's such a growing number, sadly, of young men. There's obviously the old men who are in love with the patriarchy, but these young men don't want to give it up, man. You can find them all on Reddit, and you know, they call themselves incels a lot of the time, and the right men's rights activists. So they love to throw the 14th Amendment in our faces, and they love to, condescend and talk down like it's never going to happen. And frankly, I'm fucking done with them. I will not argue with them anymore. I block their asses.
Block them. These guys are mad. They're incels because nobody wants to fuck them.
Yeah.
Let's make one thing very clear. And nobody wants to fuck you because you have insane, stupid, ignorant, misogynistic views. So yeah. Fine. Stay away. Block away. I have no time for that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just at the point now where we are in such dire straits in this country. I'm not going to fucking bother with most trolls. I mean, if somebody's kind of nice to me and asks me a question, I have no problem, you know, answering them, even if they don't agree with me.
Look, we've resorted to kind of nice, you know? But yeah, no, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they're not full troll. But, you know, I mean, I'm just, fuck them. Block.
I
don't know if they're a Russian troll farm person. I don't know if they're somebody who is pretending to be someone they're not. So no time for you. I don't care if you don't like it. You can go free speech all over your own page. You're not going to fuck on, you know, you're not going to pull your shit on mine. So.
Right. And you can spot the trolls in 2 seconds flat. Mm-hmm. You know who responds to trolls and it makes me sad?
Hmm.
Chelsea Clinton.
Well, see that sometimes she makes an example of them.
She does make an example of them, but somebody put Howdy Doody's face on, photoshopped it onto her,
mm-hmm.
and it was like the guy had, you know, 19 followers or something.
Yeah,
and then it was a picture. It was not a picture of a person. It was like some, you know, a person. It might have been an object, is what I'm trying to say. It was not like a famous person. You know, they'll put like Sean Connery and then make fun of you.
Right.
And she responded, and it made me kind of sad because she's such an accomplished, brilliant, wonderful person, and that shit just doesn't, you know, like remember when you did the challenge, like I Resist challenge, the video thing, and that I put that on Facebook, and I think 16,000 people look. It was insane the views it got, and there were a few, like one woman from some trailer park in the South. I can't remember where. She called me a cunt, and that was fine. I don't care. I actually viewed that as like, right on. I got to her. But then some guy with a picture, he had a cigarette. He was like crouching down, petting his pit bull with a smoke and like a Manchester United jersey on or something. And he wrote, "Who is this bloke?" Talking about me. And I'm like, you know what? That happens. I kind of like it because guess what? I got to them.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather not respond. And now, you know, they'd probably like, who is this fat bloke? I don't know. But big deal. I would just move on. No. Who is this bloke with the giant breasts? I've never seen anything like this before.
The big booby bloke.
But you know, we got to move on with that stuff. I can't let that bother me.
No.
Someone said, "Jesus, are you for real?" When someone was talking about who would you vote for in 2020. And it was one of those polls, right? And it said Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, or Deval Patrick. And I said, I didn't vote, but I responded with, I would vote for an actual donkey in 2020 if the donkey was pro-choice, you know? And then I added to it, or I said, I'd like to see, it was who would you like the running mate to be? But, you know, it was fun. And it was like, there was a little bit of back and forth. And the running mate, I said, I'd like to see a person of color or someone that doesn't have a penis as Joe Biden's running mate is what I said. But that being said, I'd vote for an actual donkey in 2020 as long as they were pro-choice, blah, blah, blah. And then someone, a troll with 14 followers said, "Jesus, are you for real?" And then, you know, in their bio, it said atheist. But whatever. These people are dumb shits.
Yeah, they are.
I can't be bothered. I don't respond. I used to engage.
I have to agree with Bill Maher that so many people are stupid. But Bill Maher is really starting to piss me off now. Because a couple of weeks ago, he had Bernie Sanders at the top of his show. And he, you know, they were begging on the Democratic Party. And Bernie was saying something like, I agree with Bernie in that Democrats would do well to not only be anti-Trump, but to focus on those kitchen table, you know, issues that everybody cares about. I think that's very important. I think that should always be something the Democratic Party, you know, finds a way to talk to their constituents. I think that's extremely important. I think it's important also to let everybody know that the Democratic Party is against Trump's agenda. So I'm definitely for that. But never once did Bernie mention the Russian attack, which, of course, pisses me off. But when they were discussing the big failure of the Democratic Party, as they were referring to it, you know, Maher was all over it. He was kissing Bernie's ass. And so Bernie's answer or whatever as to why the Democratic Party failed in 2016, according to him, it was because Democrats didn't have the right message, that blah, 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 blah. So cut to the end of the show. Bill is talking to a totally different guest, and I can't remember his name, but, you know, Bill says to him, "Oh, well, the only reason or the reason Donald Trump is president is because of the Russians." So when he was talking to Bernie, the reason Donald Trump is president is because of a big failure of the Democrats. Yet when he's talking to someone else, all of a sudden it's Putin that installed him. So he's being a hypocrite and he's not getting his story straight. And then on the show following, that was last week's show, I think it was. I can't remember. But anyway, which I did not watch, but I did see his end rant. And I posted about it on Facebook. And so his end rant, again, was basically saying Democrats are spineless and that while You know, all these horrible atrocities are happening. You know, ooh, the big liberal accomplishment is getting somebody to stop advertising on Laura Ingraham's show. And he pointed to a few celebrity tweets to make his point, whether it was tweets or sayings or whatever, like, you know, that were made the Democrats look really weak. And I just got so angry because, and I posted something on Facebook, which I'm going to kind of go over. And what really irritates me is that when I, after I posted it, I was getting splained to by a bunch of people, men and women included, about how, well, he's a comedian. And it's like, fine, he's a comedian. No argument there. But he wasn't doing a comedy bit. The end rants of his show aren't comedy bits. Mm-hmm. And other people, including Bernie Bros, who are misogynistic fucking assholes, repeat his talking points. So, yeah. And then what that does is it makes people feel justified when they vote for somebody like Jill Stein. So what Bill Maher failed to mention about what the Democrats have accomplished since Trump has been president is that, and I'm going to read what I wrote. He didn't say anything about how activists showed up repeatedly to protest the repealing of the Affordable Care Act and stopped the GOP from killing it. He never mentioned the two states that have ratified the Equal Rights Amendment. That's because of activists on the ground. He didn't talk about the people who have, the young people who have changed the gun conversation, and that because of that, states have enacted more responsible gun legislation as a result. He didn't talk about all the wins the Democrats have had since Trump has become elected. Wins in Virginia, in Georgia, in New Jersey, there have been so many wins. And then just recently, we've seen a whole bunch of wins in the primaries, specifically by women. So yeah. It makes for good television. And, you know, fine that he's a comedian, but this wasn't funny. He is giving talking points to the bros. And the bros are part of the reason why Trump is president. So yes. I used to be a big, I used to be a really big Bill Maher fan. I didn't always agree with everything he said, but I always respected him. I've lost my respect for him because what he's fucking doing.
Well, I totally agree with you. I don't miss that show. I watch it. I should say I haven't. I've always made that a priority. That's a Friday night thing for me. Mm-hmm. If I don't get to watch it on Friday night, I make sure that it's the first thing I do on Saturday morning with a big cup of coffee and a pile of laundry. Like, I dig it. I mm-hmm. love it. He cracks me up. He's so in the know. He has amazing guests. Mm-hmm. I love that he offers a seat at the table to people that we despise and mm-hmm. who we want to punch in the face, because I think it makes us smarter and it makes us better prepared to stand up for what we believe. And so that weekend with the Bernie, I decided, you know what? Like, I didn't hate Bernie. Mm-hmm. I think Bernie's a good guest, but I think Bernie needs to take some responsibility for what the fuck happened.
Yeah, he won't.
And I think Bill Maher needs to, you know, get out of Bernie's rectal cavity when they're sitting together. I mean, he's just up so far up mm-hmm. his ass. And like you said, then he turns around and he switches his story up when he's talking to somebody different. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. It's not that Democrats can't get it together. It's that people in power are sending mixed messages and guiding, you know, the Bernie bros and people who are so easily swayed and who might be just a little too misogynistic to vote for Hillary mm-hmm. or who say that she's evil. That's the wrong message. Bernie did the Democratic Party a disservice by not coming out and openly standing arm in arm with Hillary Clinton mm-hmm. and saying, I lost fair and square. This is who we get behind, God damn it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get behind her, then you aren't behind me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the problem. And, you know, Jill Stein and all those other douches, and yes, Russia and all of that. But a united Democratic Party is what is going to get us to, you know, to help save this country, to repair what looks like irreparable damage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like so that's what I think.
Yeah, I'm fully in agreement, and it's hard because, as you said, for me, real time was a priority. I owe it, you know, but I find that the more I watch it, my blood pressure goes up. I just can't take it anymore. And I mean, yes, he has brilliant guests, and he is incredibly intelligent. and he's funny, and he's, you know.
I think he's high every week.
Probably.
Honestly.
Yeah. Bob and I have discussed that. We seem to think that maybe that's the case.
Mm-hmm. He's always got a, not always. Sometimes his tongue is green, and you know that he was like so high and has cotton mouth, and they're like, here, suck on this lozenge before, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm mad at him because when he does, like, we need everything. And I want truth, and I want truth in reporting, of course. But I am very sensitive to the fact that we're in, this situation is so dire that we are very, like, I watch The Handmaid's Tale, mm-hmm. okay? We're real close from a fucking Gilead right yeah. now. And they're taking our rights away as women, one by one. They're putting, now, this whole, you know, we're going to get on the immigrant children being ripped from their yeah. parents and, you know, parents being thrown in jail. And a four-month-old yesterday in Texas was taken out of his father's arms. And there's a four-month-old baby now who has been, it's the youngest one reported,
yeah.
who's been separated. These are things that happen in a dictatorship. Nobody's being executed yet. But you better believe people are being left to die. Just look at Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. okay? So how much better is this country and the people in charge than what's happening in North Korea, you know? So I'm scared to death that if we don't get our shit together mm-hmm. and the message isn't a unified message, and Bill Maher, you have this platform and you are somebody that we look to provide us with, yes, entertainment, but really, really informed discussions is what you bring to the table every Friday night, then you better get on the bandwagon
yeah.
and realize that if we're not united and you don't, you know, go down that path versus having Bernie and you know, kissing his ass and then having a completely different message 30 minutes later in that same show, I'm sorry, you're doing the Democrats a disservice.
Yes. Absolutely.
Fucker.
I have some breaking news. Uh-oh. Just breaking in with breaking news. Katie Turr at NBC is reporting that Michael Cohen has received word from federal prosecutors that they are preparing paperwork to arrest him.
Says who?
Says who?
Keep going, Bob.
That's all I have.
Says who?
Well, you know, he was telling Friends the other day that that's what he was expecting. So, you know, he should be flipping. And anytime soon, because that was the news that, you know, he's going to be cooperating with the special counsel. So,
And his attorneys are out of the picture.
Yeah.
Like, his attorneys have departed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He has no representation right now.
He is fucked.
It's on.
It is fucking on. Which really scares me, though, because there was a Axios story came out that I think 40% of voters feel that the Mueller investigation is unfair. So Mueller needs to hurry up. I mean, I've been all about we need to be patient and shit, but yeah. the GOP narrative that the deep state is against Donald Trump is gaining traction.
Well, guess what? When the irrefutable evidence is put forth after Cohen cooperates and after Manafort goes to jail and it really sinks in with Manafort that he's going to die in jail, that shit is gonna, the hurry up, the pedal will be, it's gonna be 0 to 60. What other analogy or metaphor can I put forth? Because this shit is on.
It's on. You know what? I'm feeling very nervous because this is we're in new territory. And we've never experienced anything like this, specifically with the country. Outside right. of the fact that, you know, I mean, yes, we've had crazy leaders before and weird presidents and things like that. What we did have was we had a sane Congress, even though we would have GOP right. that had extremist views. Overall, mm-hmm. they were sane. And I mean, just right. look at Watergate. We don't have that right. anymore. It's gone. The Republican mm-hmm. Party is either bought by the Russians or so up its own ass and so far away, it's like it's up the Tea Party ass that they're willing to say nothing or do any, you right. know, they're being so complicit, and whether they're afraid of Trump's base or whatever the reason is, they're not doing anything. And It's getting really bad now. I mean, this isn't surprising to me that it's happening because I knew this was going to happen. I knew that the longer we, you know, the longer this goes on, the worse it's going to get. And, you know, just as Right now, what we're experiencing is way worse than what we were experiencing just at the top of the year. Imagine what 3 months from now is going to be like as we head into the elections. And and Russia is actively trying to, you know, fuck with us, you know, not again. They're just amping up their efforts
to
screw with us. And so, I mean, it's so important that we, we've got to vote. We've got to get that vote out. And, you know, real quick, I just want to say that I watched Netflix's Get Me Roger Stone. And I did not want to watch this until after he was in jail. But I realized after watching it, it really wouldn't matter. I figured, okay, I can handle it when he's arrested and in jail. But no, because I don't want to say crimes, although they're crimes, dirty tricks. He started a long time ago when he was very young. He worked with Nixon. He worked with a whole, I didn't know this, but both Manafort and Stone and was Black. They had some firm where they, you know, help political candidates, mostly GOP, not always, but, you know, they take money from foreign countries. Roger Stone is a full on toxic chaos agent that has been extremely successful over the years. Now he's such a weirdo, and you know, he got himself kicked off of Trump's campaign. Mainly, at least this documentary suggested that the reason why was because he was getting more coverage than Trump, or more favorable, whatever. So Trump,
that's totally plausible.
Yeah, but even though he was thrown off, he is still part of the campaign in that Trump calls him all the time, or was part of the campaign, and that Trump, and I'm sure to this day they're still talking. So it's not that he's out, it's just that the optics have changed, but he's still there. He's still doing exactly what he was doing. And watching that documentary it made my stomach hurt. I mean, it was fucking awful. I told my mother, don't watch it. Don't watch it until there's real hope for this country, because I know my mom is so fed up right now. She used to write political articles. She can't really handle it anymore. You know, she's just feeling so beaten down by this. I mean, she'll still tweet and she still has, you know, a toe in, but it's getting to her.
It was too much for her. Yeah.
And so I just said, don't watch this, because you're not going to be able, it's just going to make you so freaked out. It's going to disgust you. And I said, you know, hopefully the midterms will turn some things around and we'll get some power back and we'll be able to, you know, at least stop some of this craziness and madness. But until then, you know, if you have a weak stomach, or, you know, if this stuff is really getting to you, hold off on the Roger Stone. But it's still extremely important to understand what he has accomplished, how he has accomplished it, and you know, that these two guys, Manafort and Stone, have been around for a long time. They're filthy.
They're filthy. So you know what I found really interesting yesterday? I mean, like, you know, when you were saying, oh my God, it's a crazy day, and I'm like, what have I missed? But really, that's just every day.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we've got before we started the show, and we were, you know, just going over some topics, I've got 12 things that you and I rattled off inside of 2 minutes that we can talk about. And then I've thought of 10 more, you know, that like crisis level shit, right? Yeah. So it's funny because I want to punch Bob Corker in the face. I mean, I'm not going to lie about that. The guy, he talks such a big game, and then he votes with the Republicans. And so, you know, yesterday there was some news out about him saying he wanted to bring some legislation to the floor that would give Congress veto power over certain presidential tariffs. But then he, you know, he goes and starts talking shit about his fellow Republicans in the Senate, saying, no, they won't let me because, nobody wants to piss Trump off.
Yeah.
Right. And then he says that if we piss the president off, then we might not be in the majority. And it's almost like he's mocking his fellow Republican senators. But at the same time, you know, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. And it to me, it just cracks me up. But then it makes me think, wow, these guys really are terrified. Like, Mitch McConnell is so dirty, and there was so much Russian-fueled NRA money that went to McConnell, that went to Rubio, that likely went to
Lindsey
Cruz,
Graham.
Right?
Lindsey Graham.
You know, Lindsey Graham's the one that makes me the maddest, because sometimes I like him, mm-hmm, but then right. I cut that off about 6 months ago. I'm done with Lindsey Graham. I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done with all of them. You know, Jeff Flake. I told you I saw him on the street and I screamed out, make us proud, Senator. Well, then what does he do? He talks about how awful it is what the party is doing to these immigrant families and, you know, don't talk to Kim and all of these things. But what is he doing? What are they doing? They're doing nothing. And so we have, we could possibly take back the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
I know Maybe. That's a long shot.
It is.
I know
still.
That's a long shot. But if we can hold our seats, okay, because 26 Democratic seats are up in the midterms. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, okay. We cannot lose a single one of them.
No.
Okay? So we have to just hold our ground, and then we have to work actively to get Corker and Flake and Collins and Murkowski. I don't even know about that. But, you know, we just need a couple more, and
yeah.
then we need the Congress.
Right.
And so that's the reality. So what are we going to do as a concerned people, you and me? I know what we're going to do. But what are the decent people of this country going to do? Because I'll tell you what's going to start happening between now, like you said, what does the next 3 months, you know, what's in store? Trump's going to do a zillion horrible things
oh, yeah.
between now and then, because within the next 3 months, we're going to have another story that we're telling about Manafort. Like, is it possible that he could, because I think he's in danger of being killed by people in Russia.
Yeah.
You know, which is why he's standing firm, because he owes so many millions of dollars to Ukraine, and God only knows what other shady shit he's done in Russia. But I think he would be assassinated.
Yeah.
And so maybe he goes into the witness protection
right.
program. Is that a thing? I mean, like, is that a possibility?
Yeah. I mean, I've heard people talking
right?
about that. Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I've been thinking. And then we've got Cohen, who's deep. I mean, he's married to a Ukrainian woman. He was picked 10 years ago to work with Trump and to be Trump's personal lawyer, probably because of that, because Trump had his sights set on running. And there's so much more that, like, the average bear doesn't know about how deep Trump is in with the Russians. And these guys are, you know, they helped him get there. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And then between now and 3 months, the kids, you know, they want to put these camps together.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Obama had tent cities. But the difference between that and Trump's tent cities, those were families mm-hmm. being held and fed and, I guess, detained, mm-hmm. right? But now Trump wants to put tent cities together, Trump and Sessions.
Which are basically prison camps.
They're prison camps, but the difference is these kids are by themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. And some of the parents are actually going to actual prison for violating
right.
these laws. If they're not being sent back, if the women, many of the women who come here are fleeing because they're, you know, they're involved domestically with men who are in gangs who are beating the shit out of them and possibly beating the shit out of their kids. So they flee. And so we're not protecting people who are fleeing under that domestic violence, you know, umbrella.
Yeah.
So they're getting sent back, but we have their kids.
Jesus Christ. I mean, this
you know,
is just
I mean,
crazy.
Those kids are going to start to die.
Yeah.
Those kids are going to start to
it's
die.
It's going to be on his watch.
On his watch. That's what's
going to
happen.
And the thing that's really scary to me is that his, you know, supporters, whatever you're going to call them, MAGAs, they don't care. They just don't care.
No,
you know, I mean,
there
you've got these evangelicals that are, you know, so quote unquote pro-life, yet mm-hmm. these are the same people that are praising him for meeting Kim and praising Kim, who, you know, has, I mean, the crimes against humanity are unfucking believable, and on top of it, they have. It says like I read there was an article I think in the New York Times, where it says prisoners are starved, forced to work, tortured, and raped. Reproductive rights are denied through forced abortions. Forced abortions.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, how do you even argue with someone who is going to be such a hypocrite?
Right, right. And that, you know, that's part of Kim's deal, right? Forced abortions.
There was another defectors told a committee about a newborn being fed to guard dogs. I mean, the things that have happened, there's a, it's a, let's see, was,
oh my God. Oh no, 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 no.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, this is who he's praising and saying is very honorable, and the pro-life crowd gets behind him. So it's like, it's such bullshit. It's just, it's such complete bullshit. The things that he has done to his people are horrible. And then Trump goes and attacks fucking Justin Trudeau and says, Canada burned the White House down.
What a dumb fuck.
God, he's so stupid. And the thing is it's fine that Trump is stupid, but what's worse is the electorate is more stupid. I mean, there's a lot of us out there who aren't stupid, but not enough of us are paying attention. Not enough of us even understand that Russia is attacking us right now. Part of the reason is because we don't have that centralized, news agency that just reports with no, there's no partisan commentary whatsoever like we used to have. It used to be that the nightly news was just straight up news and everybody believed it because it was the truth. And of course you might have far right or far left people who will question everything, but the majority of this country understood that, when Walter Cronkite came on or whoever, Tom Brokaw, that we were getting the truth. That's gone. That's just gone. Mm-hmm. So how do you fight that? I don't know. I mean, that's why we're doing this podcast is in part, that's why I post on social media, because I hope that people are, at least paying a little bit of attention. You know, let me just say this, though, back to the ERA, and then I want to ask you a question about Father's Day. But I was really excited because after I came home from the ERA hearing, I saw David Hogg, the teen guns activist, tweeted. It was multiple times he tweeted, women's rights are human's rights, and then he wrote, ERA now. And I saw that, and I was like, oh! And then I guess he tweeted something a couple days later that he had learned that the ERA is not in the Constitution, and he couldn't believe it. So I was just completely thrilled. And to find out David Hogg knows about this now.
David Hogg is going to be
president,
one of our a future savior of
our
democracy.
I hope
he's
so.
He's already doing his part. But when he, as a man with a little bit of, education under his belt and some more politics, more political experience, this guy is formidable. He is going, I love him. I'm just so proud.
Well, and I hope that this goes to Emma Gonzalez, because, she's definitely someone who I would love to see take on the ERA. I would love that, because and also she's a woman of color. And I really wish that an African-American woman would kind of do what Alyssa's doing, because there have been times when I've had conversations with black women and I've talked to them about the ERA and they're just so they've lost hope, because they're the ones who are they're discriminated against more than anybody, black women. And so they just feel like, you know what, we're just so screwed, nothing's going to help us. And it's like, no, the ERA will help. It may not be immediate and it may not be perfection, but it will help. And I'm not the woman necessarily to tell them that, because they look at me and they're like, well, you're white and you've got that privilege of being white and you're just never going to understand where, what's happening to me. And while I may not ever experience what they have, what they've gone through, I certainly understand that they have it worse. And there needs to be a strong woman leader out there who can talk to them and that will get them fired up about this and explain to them why it is going to benefit every woman and every man. It's going to benefit everybody. But anyway, enough about my rant there. Let's talk about something light. What the hell are you going to do for Father's Day? Do you know what you're going to get your husband? I mean, I'm not even sure what I'm going to get my father.
Yeah, that Father's Day is kind of tough because, my husband is like, he's a grown man. He's got all the stuff he needs. Like, one more pair of Stan Smiths. Oh, I really put a lot of thought into this, And he's a great cook, my hubby. And so, but he's got everything in the kitchen. But like one of his biggest joys in life is putting dinner in front of us every night. And there's so much love. Like when we sit down to our family dinner, it's just like, this is love. And so Father's Day is love. So I want to give him back some love. And I think I found the perfect thing. So it's okay. Here we are. It's summer. We've got great weather. You guys have great weather. This could totally work for your dad. Mm-hmm. And it could totally work for Bob, the father of your child, Robert Costa. and it's called the Man Grate. Have you ever heard of the Man Grate?
No.
Okay, it's amazing. So my husband, we've got like the jank 15-year-old Weber in our backyard, but it works, you know. And he goes out there and he cooks on it. But sometimes he gets the sear wrong, or the shit's just a little too crispy. Uh-huh. Well, the Man Gate is, if any man that loves to get out and grill.
Wait, man gate or grate?
Man grate. Let me spell it for you. M-A-N-G-R-A-T-E. You can find it at mangrate.com. And here's what it is. I'm going to, like, let me just give you some of the details on it. It's 100% cast iron grate that sits on top of any grill. So, like, we're going to pop this baby on the Weber. Mm-hmm. And then you put your meat down on top of the Man Grate, and it will literally, it gets the perfect sear. It creates the most juicy, beautiful, tender cuts of meat that you could ever imagine. It's 8 pounds of raw cast iron. It's 100% American made. It fits on top of any grilling surface. You know, you take it out of the box, dust it off, pop it on, and boom. And right now, if you go to mangrate.com and enter the code DAD18, you can get 40% off of all their grates and all their premium brushes. So needless to say, that's what I'm getting my dad. I mean, my dad's in heaven. That's what I'm getting my husband.
Yeah.
My beautiful husband,
Zach. That sounds actually
Zach.
Pretty good. My dad loves to grill. In fact, in his backyard, next to where he grills, he's got a sign tucked up that said "Old Guys Rule."
Oh well, old
so
guys
can,
are
like,
gonna rule
use
with an
his
8
man
grate
grate and grill and be cool.
It's gonna yes, and can I mean, don't you? What is more delicious than sitting outside having a dinner with your man, eating steak off of the Man Grate? You guys, you know, and you guys, your son Robert Costa is needing to eat some
a little
steak
bit more
lately. He's a little
maybe
thin.
We should get a Man Grate for Robert
I
Costa.
I want to make sure that you're feeding him enough. So you and Bob put this Man Grate to use and feed your son.
Yeah, we
a
need to feed
steak.
Robert, because while he's super sexy, he could stand to put back on a little bit more weight.
He is a little sexy, but he needs to have a steak. So go to mangrate.com. Sorry, we're spoiling the surprise, Bob, but you're going to love it. Enter dad 18 and save 40% off of all grates and premium brushes.
Well, that's good because Bob certainly likes to grill too. So there you go.
Oh, I could see Bob out there grilling.
Grilling for our son.
And
well,
he is hungry.
You know, we have another son. Did you know about our other son? Jordan Catalano.
Oh, Jordan Catalano is your son too?
Did you know that? I swear to God. Look at him. He is like Bob and I combined.
Oh my God.
He's
you
our son.
Foxes
what's,
just
what's,
produced
what's
Jordan
Catalano's
Catalano.
Real name? Bob?
Jared
yeah.
Leto.
Yeah.
Jared
that's
Leto.
Our son.
Yeah.
That's our other son. So it's Robert Costa and Jared Leto. They're our sons.
And they're so adorable. Will you guys all come over for Thanksgiving this year? Because I'd love to have them at my table. And I will make sure Robert gets plenty too.
Yes, we have to give eat. Robert extra mashed potatoes.
And cheese.
Yeah, and cheese. I guess we're going to have to wrap up. We barely even got to some of the things that we were hoping to get to.
We got to two things.
We got to two things. That's because...
No, we got to more than that.
We talk a lot.
We do. There's a lot
But
to
don't
talk
forget
about.
To support the show by becoming a monthly subscriber at patreon.com/startmeup. $5 gets you into another and another thing, which is coming up right after this. And I told you, I gave you that little teaser at the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
I'm going to share something very sweet Alyssa said to me about body image. So, you know, hopefully you're going to take advantage. You're going to go support the show. Please support the show. And, you know, we'll be seeing you over
oh,
on seeing you on the other side.
And we do fight authority.
Yes.
Woo!